Good afternoon. Before we open the word, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank thee that we can gather our hearts together again this afternoon hour to look into thy word, Lord. We pray that thou wouldst continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. We pray that as we are challenged this afternoon, we ask that thy spirit would work in our hearts. Give us guidance. Give us direction, Lord. Help us see and reflect on our lives, Lord, of where we can improve, where we can do more for thee, Father. And we thank thee for the examples in the scriptures. We pray that they would impact us greatly as we read them, as we recognize what others have gone on and done before us, Lord, and we pray that we can take comfort in that and be encouraged by it, Lord. We pray that thou wouldst bless us now this afternoon, that thou wouldst give us a focus on thee and thy word, and how it is that thy spirit would speak to each one of us individually. And we pray that it would be thy spirit that does the speaking this afternoon. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to turn this afternoon to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. And I'd like to start reading with verse number 17 in Ephesians chapter 4.
Efesima četvrta glava, početak od 17. broj. Efesima četvrta glava, 17. broj.
I would like to read through this chapter and also into chapter 5 a bit. So bear with me, please. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these vain things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've read up through verse 20. Some of you might know that this past Labor Day I had the opportunity to be at the Labor Day retreat and had some of the messages there. And the theme of the retreat was from Colossians chapter 3, which actually, if you look at it, and we'll probably bounce back and forth there a little bit this afternoon, is very similar to this text that we just read here. The letter, you know, Paul must have had on his mind some very similar things for these churches. Some of the verses are almost the same. Almost word for word in what they're instructed. And the theme of the retreat was risen in Christ. And the Lord laid on my heart something out of that and lately that I've been thinking about a lot, and I've been encouraging back home and to some of the other churches I've been able to be at recently. And so I want to present this as well this afternoon. And I wasn't intending to, and I just thinking about it after this morning's message, I was thinking about these scriptures here, and this is the instruction now that we're given after we've been given that sight. And even in the scripture, it talks about those that had, in verse 18, the blindness of their hearts. And so now we're talking about once we've been given that vision in Christ, are risen as with a new life in Christ, as we read about in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. What does that life mean for us? What does it mean to have a new life risen in Christ and how we live our lives? And I do have a challenge as well to go out towards the end of the message here that I've been challenging myself and, as I said, other believers for something specific we can do for the kingdom of Christ and spreading the gospel. So appreciate your prayers this afternoon as we look into this. As Brother Louis said, there's a lot of instruction that's given here. We're not going to be able to go through verse by verse, but there are a lot of things that we can look at and things that we should be thinking about. And talking about a new life in Christ, you know what that means for us. Again, after that blindness has been healed, the spiritual blindness. As we saw Bartimaeus that gave his life to Christ, followed Christ, what does that mean for us? And what is the new focus of our lives? And we have script in the scriptures here, it talks about we'll see a lot of phrases in the text we read that talks about putting off and putting on, or putting away, putting things away of our past, lifestyle that we used to live, and putting on a new life in Christ, putting on new actions, and taking on new things. And it's important that we focus on those things and see what a new life in Christ looks like and what's kind of expected of us and how that can be a testimony to those around us. So thinking about how do we have that changed life as we live for Christ. And talking about being risen for Christ, you know, we look at, a lot of times we talk about with our conversion, our baptism, which signifies a death, a burial in Christ, our old sinful nature being buried and rising up anew. And I believe that this visual is used as being risen to show that there is a complete change in our lives. You know, when we learn of Lazarus, now Lazarus died, and Jesus waited a couple days before he left to go when he was called for, after hearing that Lazarus was sick and died. And he even said the reason he was doing that, essentially so there'd be no doubt at all that Lazarus wasn't just sick or in a coma for a while and he just woke up, so people could just say afterwards, well, okay, he wasn't feeling good. We thought maybe he was dead, but I mean, he was sealed in the tomb and they were afraid to even open the tomb because they said, surely he stinketh because it's been 4 days. And Jesus, the stone was rolled away. Jesus called Lazarus, come forth. and out he walks. And there's no doubt in anybody's mind that he was risen from the dead. And it's a complete change. He was dead, and now he's alive. And same thing here, as well with Christ's crucifixion, all the actions that had gone through to make sure that he was completely dead. And we see risen. There's no doubt that he could have survived those couple days in the tomb after everything he had gone through. He was dead and had given up the ghost. And likewise here, talking about such a change in our lives that we take. We put off things, become dead to sin, and put off these actions in our lives. And there are a lot of action words in here that we're given instruction for. So it talks about walking not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, whose understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being separated from God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So not walking like those who don't know, who are wandering blindness, but walking with a clear vision, with our eyes focused on Christ. In Colossians 3, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, having your focus on Jesus Christ. And it talks about, in verse 19, of the things of the past, things they used to be involved in, and lasciviousness, uncleanness, greediness, all those different things. But this is not how we have learned about Christ, who Christ is, what Christ stands for, and what our life should stand for as we live our life as a testimony for Christ and examples for Christ. In verse 22, it says, putting off concerning, again, putting something else off, and even thinking about how Bartimaeus put off his garment, cast off his garment the same way, that we put off these things. Concerning the former conversation, the things we used to talk about, the words we used to say, the corruptness and deceit that we used to have in our lives, putting those things off and separating ourselves from them. And being careful that we don't get sucked back into that. I really enjoy these verses in 1 Peter chapter 4. The whole chapter really has a lot for the believer and for our lives. But 1 Peter, the first few verses, says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind as Christ. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we used to walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And many of us have experienced this where other people might think we're strange. Our peers might think we're strange because we're not going with them to a certain event or a certain party with other classmates, or maybe even sometimes certain professional work events or the way that we go. Maybe they think it's strange that I'm not going to drive to an event with just a female coworker in the car with me. People might think it's strange that I would not want to do that. But it gives an opportunity for us to explain why we stand for certain things that we do, why I'm not going to go and partake in that, or why I'm not going to be involved in this conversation with you. Because it's not edifying, it doesn't uplift, and it doesn't exemplify what Jesus Christ would talk about. And we shouldn't think that that we're the strange ones, right? This should be normal to us. We shouldn't, and this is what kind of today's society makes us feel like we should feel strange, like we're the weird ones. But this is, if we think about what other people are involved in around us, I think we could think that's probably pretty strange, some activities that people take part in. And we as believers should not be made to feel like we're the strange ones. And this really struck me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's kind of going through talking about the apostles and some of the charges they've been given and some things that have been happening to them. And he points out in verse 13 this phrase that really today, and again, looking at the media, society, those around us, and how Christians are being made out to be, he says, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And how often is that true that people are trying to make us out to be as the filth of the world? Like we're the bad guys for maybe saying people shouldn't do certain things as we understand it to be sinful, not the way that God designed us or created us, not the expectation for our lives and things that aren't serving Christ and the kingdom of Christ. We are not the filth of the world. We are, and we need to make sure that in ways too, as believers, sometimes maybe we could come across as critical or lift ourselves up a little higher than other people. We need to be careful that in love, we are explaining to people why we believe what we do, why for ourselves we think it's wrong to do a certain thing because of the scriptures. And then we go back and talk about what Jesus has done in our lives and why for us to believe the scriptures, why we believe Jesus is real, why we believe the change in our life was real. And when other people that trust us, our peers that can relate to us, that know us, and know the life, the example that we live, it can be a great testimony to them, for them to understand, wow, this person, he's really taking this seriously. He really does believe in Jesus. He's not just saying this. And it's important that we think about those things, and in doing that we're putting off these old things, and people notice a change in our lives. Right? As I mentioned this morning, there's some people where we thought they're so deep into stuff, there's no way, or it would take a miracle, essentially, for that person to convert. And how we've seen what a difference that can make, a change in this person's life, how Jesus can change a person. And what a difference night and day that is. And that's how we need to, need to be able to explain to people how our life has changed, how Jesus has changed us. If they didn't know us before that point in our lives. And if they did, they should be able to see that change, because we should be putting all those things off that we used to partake in. Other words that are used for putting off, and if we look at that chapter in Colossians chapter 3, to put off, another word in chapter 3 verse 5 is mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify, essentially kill off these things, right? Choke out the source for these and put them away. Don't keep feeding them. Colossians 3:8, but now also put off all these. And this list might seem a little more easier for us to relate to. The one in verse 5, hopefully none of us struggle with those things. But verse 8, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Right? Sometimes some of these things might be a little more easy to stir up in our lives, or more natural responses we might give or fall into, or failures that we have. So those are things that we need to make sure that we're careful of, and that we put those off, and that we pray often that those don't creep into our lives or creep into our conversations and our interactions with others. And then we're also encouraged to put these things on, to be renewed, as we heard about in the prayer, renewing of our mind in verse 23, the spirit of your mind, and put on a new man, risen up as a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Are we living a sanctified life, set aside, striving for righteousness and holiness, striving to live our life for Christ and mirroring Christ? If John chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist, who was sent, he was not that light, he was not Jesus Christ, but to bear witness of that light. And that's what we are to be doing, to bearing witness. We're supposed to be a reflector, a mirror that images, so people can see Christ in us and through us, that we're reflecting Christ onto other people. And sometimes it's good to kind of stop and check and reflect on our lives and think, how did I do it? If we think back to maybe Friday or whatever the last day you were at work, think through all your interactions you've had with people. Maybe think, how did I or where did I fail in reflecting Jesus Christ through my interactions? And where can I improve, and where can I, what do I need to pray about to focus on more? What are the things that I personally struggle with in that area? Back in Ephesians 4 here talks about verse 25, putting away lying. Make sure we're being truthful in all of our interactions with our neighbors. Not to be angry, not to be sinful towards others, not to let sun go down upon your wrath. And a lot of times, this is used in wedding services where between husband and wife, you know, don't go to bed angry, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But what about your neighbors? What about your coworkers? Right? Sometimes those things fester on over days, or sometimes you might get over it and wake up the next day and move on. But that person is dwelling on that. And when they think of you, that's the interaction they think of. They don't think of, they may not be thinking of Christ. So making sure that we're making things right, that we're talking to people, asking for forgiveness, and maybe that's an opportunity for us to share what forgiveness means to us and how we've been forgiven, and why we even go through the action of asking for forgiveness. It's a good way to open up that conversation and to share Christ and what he's done for us. And at the end of the chapter, we're encouraged about our communication, that it be edifying and uplifting one to another, and to show kindness one to another, being tender-hearted, having forgiveness for others. And again, why do we do all that? Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. How can we not forgive? How can we hold grudges when we know what Jesus Christ has done for us and forgiven us on the cross? And we'll read some verses later recognizing and reminding us that even those that physically put Christ on the cross, and we understand that Christ bore our sins on his shoulder on the cross. So we are the reason Christ was on the cross. We have to recognize that and realize that he died for us, yet still forgives us. And he died because of us, yet still has forgiveness towards us. And how much we need to recognize that so that we can show forgiveness to others as well. And moving on to verse 5, there's a lot more, or chapter 5, a lot more practical instruction we're given as well in our new life in Christ to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and as the example has been shown for us. Christ has given us these examples in our lives to see what that looks like. And he's given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And verse 3, again, is always a very practical thing, really strikes me. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. These things should not be part of our conversations, not part of our actions or our daily lives, not even things we should talk about. And so we have to think about, again, what are we talking about? What are we taking part in our conversations with others? And what do others see that our focus is on? Do they hear us talking about Christ? Do they see us being kind? Do we have kind words? Do we have kind words about other people? Not just with other people, but about other people. Are we talking about other people behind their backs? How are we showing kindness? So we're given these instructions here in chapter 5 of kind of those things we should talk about, how to, we have to keep our guard up and keep our armor on, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be ready to face the wiles of the devil throughout the day. And putting that guard up, as we read here in Ephesians 5, verse 6, says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, and don't be partakers with them. Keeping your guard up. Don't let people entice you and kind of suck you back into that life that you used to live. Be willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ and stand on the side of Christ and know that he's behind us. And again, we have the power and the access to the name of Jesus Christ throughout all things. And it's laid out plainly for us in verse 8. It says, you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, and you now need to be walking as children in light. So we need to be showing the light of Christ and not be taking part in darkness, and our life should be Christ-like, and we should be a light to the world. And we're given this in verse 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, So rise up, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you that light. Christ will give you that light from being spiritually dead and having our eyes opened and our sight healed. And again, our spiritual eyes so that we can see clearly. And in the last two verses that we read here in verse 19 and 20, we're given some specific instructions that is important for us as believers that we think about. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in what? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something I want us to think about here in this last portion of this afternoon, and want to challenge us all, is where can we do more things? Where can we be giving thanks? Where can we be supporting our actions more and giving praise to specifically the name of Jesus Christ, as is being instructed here? It says all things we should do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as one way to start, as we read in Colossians 3, again, setting our affection on things above, thinking on those things, rising up in the morning, starting our day out right with the scriptures, with prayer, seeking the Lord. And then just thinking about, again, what are we talking about? How are we, what's our focus on? What do people think of when they think of us? So, you know, how do people that you care about, or even people that you just meet, right? We usually ask questions about each other, and usually it's about what are your interests, what do you do for work, what are different things, and how do people know about that? We tell them. We tell them maybe what sports team we like, or what we like to do on the weekends, or different things like that. We share our interests, right? And how much do we share in our identity in Jesus Christ, right? And I think at my workplace, and I work at the college in Mansfield, and I teach some classes occasionally. I have some student tutors at work for me. And, you know, I always think in my identity, a big part of my identity is my family, my wife and my children. And how do people that I work with know about my wife? How do they all know my wife's name and my kids' names? Because I talk about them all the time. And I work that into my conversations. And a lot of times I do that intentionally as well, just so people know I'm married. I love sharing that I've been married for 14 and a half years. For a lot of people that I work around, that's a really long time nowadays. And I know many of you have gone well beyond that. But a lot of my students, their parents are split up. They haven't had two parents in the house since maybe as long as they can remember. Maybe their parents never were married. Some of them don't even know who their dad is. And to be able to, even that, to talk about our marriages is a way we can share a testimony. But how do we share how we stayed together for 14 or 20 or 30 or 40 years? Are we sharing it's because of the bond of Jesus Christ that we have, and that we put our focus on Jesus Christ collectively as a couple? And then going on, thinking all these things that people know about us, do they also know that we're Christians? And how do they know? And what does that mean to them? Right? They might know that generally we're a pretty good person, generally, or hopefully more than generally, we're not swearing all day like a lot of the other people maybe around us, or using the Lord's name in vain, right? I was trying to think, you know, how often do people hear the name of Jesus in my circle throughout my workday? And I thought about it, and there's actually times where they probably do hear it quite a bit. But I had to ask myself, how many times do they hear about it positively? So many people use the Lord's name in vain. You know, they'll yell out whenever they're upset. They decide to pick Jesus' name to be to work in with their whatever they're upset about, or they just say it, you know, not even really thinking. It's kind of a passing phrase, and we have to think about that. The people that are also exposed to me, you know, they might hear 8 times in a day the name of Jesus, but it's all being used as a curse word, essentially, right? How many times am I counteracting that? Am I sharing a positive thing about Jesus Christ? And it seems even much more widely accepted for people to speak negatively about Jesus. So we need to, we have work we have to do so that people can see that, yeah, there are people that work here as well. There's people in these circles that do love this Jesus that I hear about, or that I hear his name being spoken of. And what's the difference in how it's being spoken about? So have people heard me, if they heard you talk about Jesus. And think about that. We often talk about our faith, we exemplify our faith, and people probably know that we go to church regularly, and even that we're Christians. But again, what does that mean? And a lot of times, it's easier, you know, in society, in our workplaces, even if we kind of maybe trying to work something in, to say thank God or God bless you. But if we think about it, everybody, or a lot of people do that. I have a boss who is very open about being an atheist, and she says thank God all the time, and I don't know what that means to her, because she doesn't believe that a God exists. But people say it. People will say God bless you when you sneeze, and they have no intention of really thinking that God is blessing you. So we have to counteract that and be more proactive. I believe the Lord's laying this on my heart, that we specifically talk about Jesus, because the name of Jesus, it causes some tension, right? It's not spoken about as much. People freely say God often. We have to ask ourselves, and maybe ask yourself, thinking back to your last week, was there a time, maybe even more extreme, even to an unbeliever or someone not from this church or from your family, that you said the name of Jesus to? And is this important to us? Does it need to be important to us? And I believe it does. I believe it's laid out in the scriptures for us as examples that have been given to us. So what happened? Jesus was with his disciples. The apostles were sent after Jesus died, rose again, was transfigured. And they were told to go and wait until the Holy Spirit came. So Jesus had died and resurrected, but he's not physically still on this earth. And there is a way that we see that the apostles never let Jesus die, showed that he had victory over death, which we need to do, because he did. He's the one and only, had victory over death. And the apostles were able to keep the name of Jesus alive. And it's important that we think about that. We look in the example of Acts. We read some of those this morning, but as I mentioned this morning, Peter and John, had healed the lame man in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I said, they were put on trial. They asked, you know, by whose name did you do this? And even more so in Acts 3, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I love this moment here, because Peter is not just saying, we healed him by Jesus' name. He takes this moment, let me remind you who Jesus Christ is. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's pointing out here that you might have thought you got rid of Jesus by crucifying him, but it's still by him. You thought he's long gone? It's still by him that this person was healed. They continue on giving this example. Later on in chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 8. And then we read later on in chapter 4, 18, they called them, we referenced this morning as well, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Also in chapter 5, verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, so after being beaten, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They never gave up on Jesus Christ, even after being beaten, imprisoned, and they knew they had to keep the name of Christ alive. And they didn't refer, you know, they could have tried to keep it vague, which I think some of us probably, I know I probably do sometimes, again, where we say God or Lord or, you know, sometimes in the scriptures they say good master or whatever it might be. The apostles in Acts did not do that. They specifically used the name of Jesus Christ. So there is no confusion on who they were talking about. There's no way it could have been twisted where they said, well, it couldn't have been, when they said master, that couldn't have been Jesus because he's dead. They're talking about Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ still has the power to heal, still has the power to save. And it's important that they never gave up on Christ, and they kept their mission going of sharing the name of Jesus Christ. As was instructed by Jesus Christ himself in Luke chapter 24, in verse 46, Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all generations, or all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Preached in his name. You need to use his name and understand the power behind it. Again, that power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the power that healed those in Acts that we read about. And again, I briefly mentioned this morning, but I want to read the verses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Again, seeing what power the name has. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we need to ask ourselves and maybe start thinking for ourselves, and this could be different in different ways, of how we keep the name of Jesus Christ alive. And in general, we're told in Colossians 3:17, similar to the verse in Ephesians 5:20, says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, everything we do or talk about, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. How do we do that? How do we keep the name of Jesus Christ alive? And maybe ask yourself, how can I do that? And again, ask ourselves, when was the last time I tried to specifically do that, to talk about Jesus Christ and mention his name? Some ways you might be able to do it is just ask people, do you believe Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Right? Usually if you ask questions, it's not as... sometimes we can ask questions that can kind of make people feel really uncomfortable, but you could ask a simple question, right? Some people might ask if you believe other historical figures are real or if this account really happened. So you could ask people who they think Jesus is. You could ask people who, at Christmas time go to church or at Easter time, or ask them, what do you believe Christmas is based on? And do you believe that Jesus was really sent to this earth as a baby? And do you believe in the virgin birth? These are questions we could ask around Easter time. Do you believe that somebody named Jesus died on a cross? And then get into the conversation of let me tell you what I believe. And a lot of times, if we ask questions like that, people will ask us questions back. And one that I like is even asking a simple question, what did you do on the weekend? And sometimes, to be honest, it's not that I don't care about them, but it might be more that I want them to ask me what I did on the weekend so I can tell them how I was at a big sing with a bunch of believers and we praise the name of Jesus. Is that the opportunities that we're taking? And maybe we could leave notes for people somewhere or write a note on your receipt somewhere at a restaurant. There's a lot of different ways that some are more passive or some are more direct. But ways, how can we work the name of Jesus Christ into everything that we're doing? And not being afraid to say the name of Jesus Christ. Right? Paul writes in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Of Jesus Christ. And we need to work on having that same mindset and being willing to share the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's tensions. There might be thoughts that you have. Could I get in trouble for talking about this at work? Could someone turn me in? Could I lose my job over it? Maybe in different workplaces you could. Maybe you're in your opportunity where you own your own business and who's going to fire you? And maybe you have more opportunities of how you can share Christ with people. But no matter what situation we're in, we can't make excuses, right? We need to be willing. Because look at what the apostles were faced with. They had opposition. They had a lot of suffering they had to deal with, but they always counted it worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. So may we be encouraged by the example of the apostles and keep, thinking about what kind of level of respect we have for the name of Christ and how powerful it is, that we may try and all that we can to keep the name of Jesus Christ alive, and that our actions can support that, that we're putting on these things that we're encouraged to put on and putting off things we're encouraged to put off. So just kind of as a challenge, maybe some action items, and maybe be thinking now even for the week going forward. And it might not sound like a big challenge or a big task for some of you, but for some it might. If in the next 7 days, is there some way once I could talk to someone and say the name of Jesus? Even you might do a good job talking about God or talking about your faith or just saying you're praying for somebody, but maybe saying I'm praying that Jesus heals you or that Jesus works this out for you. Somebody mentioned to me, I actually sent out a survey to some people to see what people are struggling with or different ideas they have. And some people even said, instead of saying I'm a Christian, saying I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. There's ways that we can adjust our language to make sure there's no question. Because even nowadays, there probably are some Christians that don't talk so highly of Jesus or of everything that Jesus did. And we see that even the term Christian is being highly watered down. So how can we talk about Jesus Christ? How can we make sure that we keep the name of Jesus Christ alive each and every day? May the Lord add his blessing.
Dear ones, we've received much instruction in this day, and as we reflected on this chapter, as the brother expounded on it, the thoughts kept coming to me about the works of darkness and what darkness is and what light is, and that we know that John tells us God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God can only act by his character, and that character is the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. He has always acts in goodness. That's his character. Righteousness, that's his character. Truth, that's God. That's who he is. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is light. And so we are told here, you were sometimes darkness. All those things that we read in the previous verses of lasciviousness and greediness, uncleanness, and all that, those are all works of darkness. But he says here, you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. And I was trying to think of the hymn. I knew there was a hymn that we sing about God is my light, and I couldn't come to it because I couldn't know how it started, and then the brother found it, that God is my light. He is my light. So if God is my light, I cannot act with the characteristics of darkness, because light always drives out darkness. They cannot cohabit together. Light and darkness cannot be. So if God is my light, if I am light, then I have to, as it says here, you were darkness, but now are you light, so walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? In all goodness. It's not that which is bad, it's that which is good. It's that which is righteous, not which is wrong, that which is righteous. And that which is true, not that which is falsehood. So we have to, as children of the light, display these characteristics. God is light. Adam and Eve were clothed in light. As the psalmist tells us that God is clothed in light. Light is his dress. We sing in one of the hymns. Can't think of that one either, but light is his dress. Adam and Eve were clothed in light. And then they found themselves naked when they sinned. Then they realized that they were naked because they were no longer in light. They were in darkness. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, we are to walk in the light, and it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not by the moral standards of this world, not by who says, is it acceptable before my Lord? Is it true? Is it right? Is it good? That is how we are to walk. Is that acceptable unto my Lord? And as the brother really drove home the point of taking the name of Jesus, I thought of a name, and I found it on my phone here, of a song that we learned in Sunday school. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you. child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. When Jesus is with me, when he is with me, I can go without fear, without fear. And I know that where I go, I will displace the darkness. And I will not be afraid to speak of the name of Jesus, because what gives a testimony more than anything that I can say is that which I am, the characteristics, that which I display, which has to be light. If God is light and I am light, I used to be darkness, I now walk in the light, so we are to be. It says, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations around you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. The hope of earth. Without Jesus, there is no hope. He is the hope of earth and he is the joy of heaven. May his name be truly in our hearts and wherever we go. May God bless his word in this day upon our hearts. Amen.